outside the box of religious obligation lies a road less travelled, into the heart of the father's affection. Slinging freedom all over the place, this is the God Chain.
Anyway, I'm Wayne Jacobson.
And I'm Kyle Rice.
And we have a special edition of the God Journey today. We've actually got a guest joining us. Mary's here. Hi, Mary.
Hello, Wayne.
How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing wonderfully well. I got this email from Mary probably about a month ago now, maybe a little longer. She just wrote this. She said, I've been walking with our Lord for a year now. I feel like I'm only just a newborn in the Father's arms. I believe I should get straight to the point. I am having much struggle trying to understand everything. I would say that this journey with Father is hard for me, and I need some help from others. So as a newborn, I feel lost still, questioning things about the church, what it means to be a child of God, how to act, how to live, etc. So I know that I'm not alone in the many confusions that I'm feeling as I walk with our Lord. It's lonely at times. I have so many questions, and I'm talking to Father about them often. And man, when I got that email, first of all, I really appreciate just the openness and honesty of it. And also because it's like I only known the Lord a year, and I've got a lot of questions. And over the last year, Kyle and I have really been talking more to a younger audience. And we thought, you know, I would love to have someone on here like you, Mary, and just to share some of your questions. I'm sure there's other people listening have the same thoughts and questions. So I asked Mary, I said, listen, you can have a personal conversation with me. We could possibly have Kyle in here and record it and maybe use it for a podcast if it's got some stuff in it that we think's enduring. And you were willing enough to come on the podcast with us. And I think that's very brave of you, first of all. Mm-hmm. And welcome. What'd you tell us about yourself, Mary? You're living out on the West Coast, you said. Tell us a little bit about you.
I would say that I'm very athletic. I love anything outdoors. Since the pandemic has arrived, I've definitely had so much trouble trying to get outdoors lately and trying to get back into my exercises. But now that everything has gone just a slightly better because of the time management and being able to organize my schedule on a daily basis, I'm able to get back to working out, trying to keep my mental health and emotional health a lot better, and being able to spend more time with family and friends. And it's been a very humbling 2 years. And so now that I'm walking with our Lord and walking with Father, it has gone even more humbling. And He has really pushed me to really put myself in a place where I can be more creative. I'm getting back into arts and crafts and getting more creative in my day-to-day life.
Great. Are you working in school? What's kind of your life look like?
Well, I graduated about a year and a half ago in recreation administration, but I'm currently unemployed. I've always had a very entrepreneurial spirit, and working under the organization or the structure, having a boss is okay, but sometimes, you know, management is not the very best. It has always been so difficult for me to really start up a business because in my tradition, in my culture, once you graduate, immediately you have to go to the work zone. There's no such thing as, oh, you want to be creative. Oh, you want to be innovative. There's no such thing for that type of mindset.
Yeah.
I decided to take a risk again and to really take a break from so-called work and to see where I really wanted to go with my life. That's where I'm at right now. I do want to stay in the field of recreation. I think recreation is a beautiful field, especially when you combine it with the gospel and kingdom building. It just transforms the lives of those that are around me. It's really incredible.
Well, that's fun. You say you came to the Lord about a year ago, and you say you're kind of celebrating a birthday. So happy birthday to you in the Lord.
First anniversary with the Lord.
Would it be fair to assume you didn't grow up in a Christian home?
That's right.
Okay.
My family is Buddhist.
Okay. And what brought you to a connection with God a year ago?
That's a great question. So just a year into the pandemic, I was at the lowest of valleys, to be quite honest with you. I was working part-time, but I was incredibly idle and would even call myself lazy in the sense of not being able to find a life path and life purpose. I was at home, you know, watching YouTube videos all day long. somewhere along watching YouTube videos, I stumbled upon the gospel. After a month and a half of just being able to get that the gospel kind of meshing in to your very being, it just immediately clicked, and I went, this is exactly what I've been missing all along, was Jesus himself. And coming back to Father, repenting and turning around was the most best thing or best choice that I've ever could have done for myself. And knowing all of my past wrongdoings and being able to turn back and realize that my life is so much better with him, you know, what else could we ask for? So I after that, it kickstarted everything. I was in the honeymoon phase for about 3 months, and it was an incredible blessing. It was just this incredible sense of joy just raining down on you. And metaphorically, I was jumping off of walls in joy, you know, during that time. And I was also just sharing the fact that, you know, guys, I came to the Lord with my family, my friends. And of course, the majority would just kind of taken aback because of also their background and the fact that they knew me for so long. And now I'm just all of a sudden with a incredible turnaround, they were just so taken aback. That's how it really got started. I don't want to say it's an accident, but somewhere deep down, I believe, you know, Father led me to him at such a time where you never know it's coming. It's just as, you know, the Holy Spirit is, he's like the wind where you just don't know where he's going to blow.
I love that. That stuff's close to our heart, obviously. And I guess I want to say, where did Jesus first connect with you? You said through a YouTube video, whatever, but where was the deeper connection in the heart? Where did that, there wasn't somebody with you. If you're watching a video, did it just kind of lead you to prayer and then Jesus kind of made himself known to you? Or can you tell me a little about that?
That's a very deep question. I think right after the initial prayer of coming back to Father, it was about the fact that I was yearning in my heart to learn more about the gospel. I knew I was a sinner, and I knew that I needed incredible help. But it was the incredible push right after that initial prayer of repentance that really kickstarted that. It was just a yearning in my heart. Who are you, Lord? What do you like? What really matters to you? Because I really want to lean on to your will, Lord. I want to lean on to your vision. Or I was talking to him about all these things of what really matters to you, Lord. How can I love you better? And it was just this revealing constantly. I'm like, oh, okay. Those aha moments started to accumulate over time.
What characteristic, as you were watching that video, especially with knowing your Buddhist background, what characteristics about the character or the Father heart of God that really drew you to him or connected you to that video? Like, what was it that really stood out in that experience or in that space?
It was the fact that I recognized that I can have a relationship with God. If we look back into different belief systems like Buddhism or even New Age, because I played around with New Age before I came to the Lord, it was the fact that I was able to have a relationship with this higher being that now I'm recognizing that there is a God and that now I have a relationship. These other belief systems, unfortunately, they don't have a closeness to anything. You're worshiping a higher being that you're idolizing, but there is no intimacy. There is no, Mary, I'm here right with you. Or there is no personal relationship. There is no capacity for the divine and humanity to finally interact with each other. It was just this, you know, with Buddhism or even New Age, there's just this idolizing factor to it. It's this as if there's this higher being looking down at us. There's a distance, if you will. Yeah.
Yeah, many people feel that inside Christianity too, feel like God's that distant.
Right, exactly.
I love the connection you have. It seems like there hasn't been like significant older brothers and sister voices in your life to help you on this journey. The pandemic, obviously part of that. I love where you're at. I love what God's done in your life over the last year. And I know you wanted to ask us questions. And so far, also, we've done it ask you questions. So how is it that you see Kyle and I or anybody being able to help you at this stage of your journey? What are the questions on your heart?
Well, one of the things that I love was just taking the risk to connect with you both and being able to reach out to other brothers and sisters that are in the path. And so I've always had this incredible deep question, and it's not just the pandemic, it's everything you both been talking about in a podcast of trying to create relationships with each other as brothers and sisters. I've always yearned that in my heart when I came to Father, because now we are a family and it's something to celebrate and something to embrace. I had always had this deep yearning to ask, what can we do to form church unity, and what it means to be brothers and sisters? What does it mean to unleash the love of God through the church into our society? Those are really big questions, obviously, but those are questions that are, you know, always making my mind open more and more, because I'm imagining what our family could be like in this world. And beautiful. Taking the risk to connect with each other was, it really helped me to understand where those questions in my heart was yearning from for church unity.
Because what's your experience with church? I'm sorry asking you another question, but when you talk about church unity, you haven't, obviously with the pandemic and all, you probably not attended, quote unquote, a church or a congregation.
Right.
So I'm interested where this hunger comes from. How do you view the church? Because I think, or maybe I'll ask you this, how long have you been listening to God Journey?
I've been listening to the both of you for about 2 months.
Okay. Because we talk about the church very differently, right? And
yes.
I sense you're talking about it pretty similar to the way we're talking about it. Not the church mm-hmm. as all those institutions out there, or denominations or whatever, but you're just talking about brothers and sisters, God's people. How do we connect around the world? Is that how you're asking the question?
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
I love that. I love Kyle just listening to Mary a little bit. I mean, we've been talking about this kind of hunger growing in people her age that's not necessarily mediated by some process or some person that's kind of pushed a religious agenda on someone, but God making a YouTube video or whatever makes his way to a connection, and then the hunger comes, and that you would have a passion for church unity a year into this without a lot of church experience, Mary. I think that's obviously a work of God in your heart. Beautiful.
Yeah, I appreciate that very much. When I first came back home to Father, and you know, I met up with other brothers and sisters who Father introduced to me along the journey too, and they would introduce to me their home churches. And because of the pandemic, I just tune in online. And after about 6 months, after 6 months of tuning online, my heart started to go, there's something going on. And it was this incredible restlessness that I had to wrestle with for about up till the holidays. And I didn't know what the meaning behind it was, because I had this idea of, okay, now that you are a child of God, you ought to go to church every Sunday. You ought to do this. You ought to do that. You ought to make sure you fellowship, make sure you go to a Bible study. And just about 6 months into the journey, when I was online, the tipping point that I recognized that there was something wrong in our churches today was, I was tuning in one day, brothers, and the pastor said, if you are not here physically fellowshipping with us, you are not a Christian. You're not a child of God. And I was so frustrated and angry. I just turned off my phone. And I went, I cannot believe our brother just said that. I was so saddened by the fact that you would say that, because there were other brothers and sisters, I'm sure, that were also online with me, because they give you the YouTube count. I was just so taken aback. I didn't know why that statement was so saddening. Mm. But it was just a blow to the heart. Mm. And I started to question, okay, so if you're saying I'm not there, am I not your sister? Am I not part of the family? And then I started to doubt that in myself. I started to go, Father, am I doing something wrong? And then I started going through the spiral of, Father, I'm not going to church every Sunday. I'm not doing this. I'm not doing that. I'm not fellowshipping. I'm not going to a Bible study. I'm not doing this. I started to blame myself on it, that I wasn't where I ought to be as a Christian right now.
Yeah, you're incredibly self-aware. I love that. I had a new believer when I was still pastoring, and this lady in her older age, she was in her 50s, and she'd come to the Lord for the first time. And she was sitting in her home one day, and she turns to me. She says, I want to ask you about some preacher I saw on TV the other day. And she gave me a name. And she said, what do you think of that guy? And I said, no. What did you think? And she said, I thought that was the most arrogant human being I've ever listened to. And I said, trust that. That's that. We joke about it being the yuck meter, but that's really just the Holy Spirit in our life. When something comes near us that's not of Him, we feel like, gosh, there's something wrong with that. And we have that very visceral reaction. And then what we often do is exactly what you did. We're just saying, well, who am I to judge that? So then I kind of start looking at myself saying, well, I don't do this. I don't do that. So obviously they know better than me. And then I go into this thing. But then you recovered from that. You recovered to go, okay, no, it's not me that's wrong. There's something about that man's view of the church, which is harmful and hurtful to other people. And it got you focused right on performance, right? I'm not reading my Bible. I'm not doing this. I'm not doing that. And so then I began to question my relationship with God. And I had a good friend who was a golf pro, and he told me he was a salesman going to a lot of golf stores selling golf equipment. And he would like have 2 or 3 hours a day in the car where he would talk to Jesus. And when he was driving between appointments, and it was just the best time of his morning. And then he heard a sermon saying, you've got to give God your undivided attention. So if you're in the shower and if you're driving a car, that doesn't count. You need to. And so he started getting up 2 hours early to spend time with God. And it was so boring. He just said, I missed my times with God. And I think Jesus knows how to walk us into this life. And sometimes we let other voices get in there, and when it puts guilt and shame and performance on us, and it's robbing us of the simplicity of the connection between God working in you, which is not, it's not individualistic like people argue, because you have a real hunger to connect with brothers and sisters, which I think is fabulous. And that Jesus gives us that hunger. It's like, I don't want to walk on this alone, but I also don't want to walk into religious environments that are trying to make me perform and get me all, you know, being part of someone else's machine rather than someone helping me grow to know the God I'm already beginning to know.
Right.
And I love your sensitivity to that. And I love how you processed it. And I know it probably took some time to get those guilt feelings or whatever out and then be able to continue the journey that God started for you. I think that's fabulous.
Yeah, I think I'm still having trouble with the guilt issues, though. To a certain degree, obviously those thoughts, they may still bother you to a certain degree, but it is just as you're saying, it is a process. And the guilt, though, was a major struggle, because I started to wrestle with two worlds. The world in which I, you know, once you're a child of God, there's always other influence around you telling you, this is how it should be done as children of God. And now I'm being wrestled to another second opponent, where it's telling you that the old ways of looking at the faith is no longer working. And I started to question, it was incredibly scary, because I was so afraid of going out of the box, because you had a certain view of the Bible. You had a certain view of the church. You had a certain view of what it's like to walk as a child of God and to know Him and what it should be like. And then now another thing is coming in and telling you that there is a possibility to go out of the box, to be creative, and to explore what that creativity is. It's like, as if you're questioning certain belief systems, even in certain traditions, for example, like the Protestant tradition, where it's so prominent here in America and the West in general, that I believe that's where it's coming from. The guilt is because we have a certain tradition here in the West of looking at Christianity, it is absolutely unavoidable that for me that I would come into the faith and be heavily influenced by the strictness of our walk with our Father. And then, as I mentioned earlier, as months go by, something is coming in and telling you, this is not the way to go anymore. And I just feel like Father's giving me his incredible grace to go out of the box. And I'm still learning what that means. And the other day I went to Father, I'm like, Father, I don't think I should go out of the box. I don't think this is how it should be done. I don't want to disobey you. And it's as if he's just chuckling back and just going, it's totally okay. You're totally okay. I am giving you my full grace for it. I'm giving you my full blessing to go out of the box and be creative, because I don't want you to be in the box either. It's as if he was telling me that. And right now I'm still struggling with those two worlds that are the ways in which the church here in the West is trying to teach you how to walk versus the voice that is within you.
Yeah, we almost teach people not to trust that voice, that God wouldn't speak to you. He's already given us the Bible, and he's given us these great leaders who've studied the Bible, and they should tell us how to live, and then we live that way.
Right.
And we even see that. I was talking with Lewis and I are working through Galatians together, my friend Lewis, and one of the things we got to in Galatians 3 about they started out in the freshness of the life of Jesus, like you're describing. And then these people come from the old Judaizing days saying, you know, there's these expectations God has of you. And you to please him, you've got to meet those expectations. And they took this wonderful group that come alive in God right back into the whole legalism of performance again. And Paul's argument is that Moses was not a step up from Abraham. Moses was a step down. God visited Abraham to give him the promise of redemption. And by faith, faith would inherit the promise. Moses came along and gave the law temporarily to hold Israel from getting too crazy about what they're doing and to help their life be not so much in the waywardness of the world, but begin to understand God's heart about things. And that was a different way of living. It was, here's a set of expectations God has. It's based on your performance as to then you can have a relationship with God. But Paul's saying that's the opposite of what he shared with Abraham. Abraham was, no, you'll believe God, and believing God will be credited to you as faith. So Jesus invites us to be transformed through promise, not performance. And it's interesting that you, even not having all that religious background in Christianity, you still pick that up in 6 months of all these expectations I should meet to feel good about myself being a Christian. But then knowing that was at odds with the God who is coming alive in you and inviting you to something else. And even, I mean, we talk a lot about the playfulness of God, that you hear God chuckling in your heart and seeing the look on your face and seeing what's growing in your heart, Mary. I love that this year, probably you have learned more, known more than most people have after 10, 20 years of going to discipleship classes and Bible studies, because all that did was embed them in this performance to expectations. I mean, you're learning, hey, God's creative. He wants me to live with him outside the box of other people's expectations. And he's able to do that in you. And what will help you in that process is not someone telling you what to do. It's brothers and sisters to talk to and to explore with and to gain other wisdom from, but not expectations and performance. And I love that.
So Mary, what was the source, or what influences started to teach you that this was the box? Like, where did you get introduced to that? What resources or input in your life started to teach you that?
I would probably start with just the church in general, the local church.
Okay.
And a lot of it is just because the pastor is teaching you a certain way of the way in which he sees the Bible, and he's teaching it to you. I also, after being with the online church, you're so curious that, you know, you would go online and perhaps, you know, you want to learn more about theology, you want to learn more about doctrine. And it's those influences where it's mostly like the internet, or just a lot of it is just you're trying to gain so much information. You're so curious about some of the things that your pastor is talking about that it actually made you go, okay, the majority of the West is thinking like this inside the church. And it just continues to trickle down from the local church to the internet. Obviously, we have brothers and sisters who have their own blogs and their own maybe YouTube channels or whatnot. Right. But those were, I recognize how bad of an influence they are, because there's so much information out there, Kyle, that are just flowing around, and we have no ability to organize those information at all. I would say that the main source of my confusion was that information was just circling everywhere. And as a newborn in the Lord, it got me more confused because information was everywhere. But it was the voice inside me that stopped me right on my track and go, you know, these sources are okay for a certain period of time, but you need to grow out of that. You need to layer up in your thinking, be renewed in your mind, basically. That was the Kickstarter to all that.
Especially if you're new to this journey, you feel like these people should know better, right? They've been doing it for years and decades, and they should know better. Mm-hmm. And so maybe what I'm learning isn't real, and so I've got to give that up. I can't tell how many people on this journey who kind of went that religious route in Christianity. And then when I talk to them as their God's reawakening them to something, they'll say, yeah, I knew something was wrong with this, but I kept telling me, who am I to question it? And and I love that you're being able to step back a little bit and let God make it more clear to you that he wants to live in this freedom. He doesn't want you to live in the bondage of other people's expectations. And that's not saying there isn't good things to learn from other people, and there are wonderful things, but this is, you know, John 10 talks about my sheep will follow my voice, and a stranger they will not follow.
Right.
And I think this is the gift that God gives us inside. We know, John says this in 1 John, that we all have the Spirit of God to know between truth and error. And it's like we almost know. When you hear something that's true, you know it's true to the core of your being. And when you hear something that sounds like a stranger's voice, I think that's where we go wrong. We start letting that stranger's voice, okay, this is the one I should be listening to, and I'm not going to trust the Jesus in me anymore. I'm going to trust that outside person to tell me what I should do. And then when it leads to guilt and it leads to performance and the joy escapes, those are all good signs to say, yeah, I'm not going down that road. I'm just not. I'm going to stay inside this place where Jesus is inviting me to follow him and not jump on someone else's bandwagon and meet their expectations. I love that.
I also felt like if I continued in the expectations of others, I felt like I was putting Father inside a box. And I didn't want to grieve him.
That's good.
I knew deep down, wait a minute, Father is God. He wouldn't want to be put inside a box. He would want to move freely around, just as the beautiful God he is.
Amen.
And so I just thought to myself, there was just this incredible struggle going on that obviously took a while to comprehend. It was a struggle of everything, really, of theology, of looking at scripture, of the way you're studying the Bible, of prayer, of spending time with the Lord in prayer. It was all of that meshed in together, but now another side of it is finally, it's like a new dawn. It's that is reaching on the other side that I'm going, okay, I'm starting to get it. It's as if the gospel now makes sense, as if everything in which our Lord had done on the cross, his burial, his resurrection, his beautiful life, it started to make sense. The gospel started to make sense. The kingdom of God started to make sense. Now we are able to be reawakened from death to life and are moved in a direction where we can now live in the spirit of the kingdom of God and to show the world what it really means to live in that spirit. and to launch the kingdom of God and to build for the kingdom of God. I just think it's such a beautiful concept.
Is this helping with some of the guilt? You say you still battle some guilt at times over issues like this, or not so much now?
I would say to a certain extent, I still battle with the guilt. I think that both factors, the old ways of walking inside the faith with the new dawn that is existing right now, they're both fighting right now. I'm still fighting that guilt because you still have that sense of maybe I need to move back and go back to the way you feel comfortable in doing things, going to church on Sundays, making sure you're in a Bible study with the brethren, make sure you do fellowship and call brothers and sisters throughout the week and check up on them. Of course, I love to do all those things, but I would want to make sure that I really do care about you instead of just mindly just in a zombie, like just doing things because somebody tells you that fellowship is good. I know that fellowship is good because I love my brothers and sisters and that I love our family. So it was that recognition of, okay, fellowshipping is good because I know deep down I care so much about our family and the family of God rather than other people forcing us to fellowship because we have to, or, you know, Father wants us to really fellowship. Of course he wants to, but out of the love for each other, out of wanting to connect and to encourage each other and build each other up rather than walking like a zombie, just doing the motions on a weekly basis. That's where I got stuck.
Yeah, because obligation ruins everything, doesn't it? I mean, you're talking about, I love being with brothers and sisters. And then somebody says, well, you have to be. And then the question is, well, how much? And am I doing enough? And then all of a sudden, right. I'm not living in the world of endearment anymore. I'm not letting God endear me to the things that he wants me to be a part of. I've now taken on somebody else's obligations and expectations and evaluating my performance that way. And I would just encourage you, whenever it feels like obligation, lean away from that space. Lean back to endearment. If you end up all alone and you don't like anybody and everybody's out of your life, then you can talk about, hey, where does God give me endearment for fellowship? But God's already given you that endearment, even though the reality of it's not as full as it will be or maybe as you want it to be yet. But what's not going to change that is our obligation to do more on our own. That's not going to change that. What's going to change is I'm just going to let this endearment grow, see who God's connecting me to. And the first question you ask is, where does the unity of the church come from? And Jesus asks his Father for that. Jesus doesn't ask us for that because we're not. Every time we try to organize our institutions or even ecumenical efforts to bring churches together in denomination, it always fails because that's always about doctrine and a faked up kind of unity of ideas instead of the unity that love produces. If we let God teach us to love and we love each other, it doesn't matter that we don't see everything the same way. Agreement doesn't become essential. And
right.
I think you're on a great journey. I love the path you're on, Mary. And I think you're less confused than you think you are. You're confused by other voices that aren't the shepherd's voice to you. And I would learn to ignore those.
And yet that's the hard thing, right? Wayne and I have talked a little bit about the idea of untangling the life of Christ from the brand of Christianity. And what does that look like? Like there's people in the Sunday morning organized institutional setting that are very much living out the life of Christ. Mm-hmm. And yet then there's those other things that have the strings attached or the obligations or the I shoulds or the guilt things. And it's like, how do we untangle that from the authentic life of Christ?
Yeah.
And I think you're doing that. I think Jesus is doing that in you, and I think he's doing it well.
Yeah. Sometimes I think I'm just too hard on myself. Yeah. I think it goes back to just living a really strict lifestyle growing up, not only just being in a Buddhist family, but in a very traditional conservative family. And then I came to the faith, and there's this feeling of, especially our brothers and sisters, for example, in the Reformed tradition, they get so strict with everything. Obviously, nothing wrong with our brothers and sisters if, you know, they're in the Reformed tradition, but sometimes perspectives, for example, in that tradition, they get so strict that they were already complementing what you have already learned in the past with your strict traditions and your strict culture. And it just kind of continued on. And it was just for the very first time I felt that the bondage, the chains of strictness and structure started to just wiggle and just kind of break apart. And the gospel really helped me to understand that, yes, it is about sin and repentance, but we have to move that, because we have to move beyond that too and look at our Lord's resurrection and what that meant for the kingdom of God. And now that we get to finally in the future be bodily resurrected, it is bringing us to new life and giving us a new way of looking and perceiving at reality. And I just think it's so mind blowing.
It's beautiful. I love that. Are there other things you wanted to talk about?
I felt like I've just, there's just so much to talk about. I don't know where to begin, but that's definitely where I'm at right now. And I'm just really grateful that, you know, starting in this new year, we get to finally look back at it a little bit more and to continue the journey where we have left off.
Yeah, I think this is the kind of the biggest stake in how God invites people to himself, and then how we try to embed them into our religious performance machines. And this has been going on for 2,000 years. There's the life of God comes, and then other people want to manage that or tell us what we should do and obligate us. And I love that in a year's time, you're trusting more that voice inside you as Jesus is leading you more than you're trusting those outside voices. And you're seeing guilt as an indicator that that road's not going to be helpful. I mean, Paul wrote, there's no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. So whenever I feel condemnation, I have to step back and say, okay, where's that coming from? It's not coming from God. It's not going to motivate me to live better because I feel guilty, because then I'm just living to myself again. I'm doing what I do so I won't feel guilty. Well, that's still living to me. And the freedom that God wants to give us, that he's giving you, is just an invitation to come follow me and walk with me, and let's explore and let's discover and let's be creative and let's see how this life works in you and how it passes on to others just naturally, organically, endearingly. There's nothing better than that. And yet so many people trade that for the same things that we've talked about. You know, who am I to question? Everybody else is doing it this way. And I think now so much of our overconfidence in religious systems is imploding as a culture, that people are having the freedom to think outside. And they need people to come alongside saying, yeah, this is the pathway. Stay on this one. Don't jump over there and start obligating yourself to a bunch of stuff. Stay inside the freedom and relationship that God's drawing you into. And that'll be a much more beautiful lifelong journey than getting in a Bible study and going to church every Sunday and then following somebody else's expectations and living with guilt and all that. You don't need. Jesus never wanted it. He came to set us free from all of that. And we built right. These Christian systems that take people right back under the law again without even realizing it, because it's not the Moses law. It's Paul's law. It's how we've taken the New Testament and made another law out of it.
Right. And, you know, when I first, you really just made a really good point there, because I guess a lot of it has to do with recognizing sometimes the law just, it works only to a certain limit, and then it just kind of stops you right at your track where you're going. There's just so much more to the journey in which you're trying to walk in than the things in which people are telling you. And I guess I've just never been really good at trusting myself and the voices that are going inside of me. But now that our shepherd is guiding his entire flock, You want to reach out to other brothers and sisters, but sometimes you just can't, because, you know, there's so many disagreements coming right between us. Or, you know, you want to share something with our brothers and sisters, and yet we can't share with each other because there's this feeling of hindrance of belief systems or something like that. And I recognize it's been going on in the church lately where we're unable to sit down and have a beautiful conversation, which, like, for example, we're having right now, and be able to untangle certain things that we're trying to understand in our lives, because, you know, life is so messy, it's chaotic, it's filled with so many knots, you know, and you're trying to have a certain perception of reality. But now that you're following the Lord and you're following in Father's footsteps, you know, it makes it all, the gospel continues to teach you certain things that you still haven't yet, you have yet to learn.
And you've got plenty of time to learn them.
Yeah.
And it's better to come in the space where Jesus is showing that to you. And I think it's really recognizing, where am I having those beautiful conversations? That's where the body of Christ is for you. Mm-hmm. And where I'm having these conversations that are fraught with peril and people trying to convince me or whatever, God may want you to be in those just to love the people that are in them, but they're not the conversations that are going to bring life. That they're not the ones that are going to express mm-hmm. that beautiful bride of Christ that's taking shape in the world. Mm-hmm. You know, it comes out of those other beautiful conversations where even people see differently, but they live generously. And they're not trying to convince you all the time, or not trying to argue theology or argue expectations or argue that. It's just, let's celebrate how God's making himself known in us. And let's trust him that if there's more he's got to teach you, he's going to show you. I don't have to make you think the way I think. And that's a great freedom, to just be alongside someone for the journey and enjoy what they're learning without saying, well, I need to shape it this way, and I need to help that, and I need to do this. I think our views of discipleship have always been how to conform people to the system I live under. Right. Instead of the discipleship being how to teach people to celebrate the Jesus in them, like I'm learning to celebrate the Jesus in me. That's what we want to celebrate. Mm-hmm. Is there anything else we can help you with today?
No, I think I've gotten it all out for now, okay. For now at least.
Well, it's been fun. If you want to do it again someday, let me know or let us know.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love the journey you're on. I think it's just, I pray, this is the thing that was on my heart, that God's doing this in thousands and not millions of hearts of young people, that God's awakening to himself, that's not coming because they read this book or heard this preacher or went to that revival. It's God wakening people up and teaching them how to live in him and celebrating that. And the joy on your face is just wonderfully infectious. And it's been a real joy, Mary. I appreciate you taking the risk to come on here and talk to us about this.
Yeah, thank you to you both, brothers. I'm just so grateful to be here and just to finally talk to you both and share with you my life.
You're welcome.
And I can't wait to see, again, where the story is going to continue to take you as those longings and those desires and those that relational texture just continues to develop over time for you. That's going to be awesome.
Yeah, I'm hoping for maybe 100 more podcasts, I think, because there's so many. I'm so sure that there's going to be so much more to talk about as, you know, the journey starts to unravel. And, you know, obviously there's a lot of trials going on, but, you know, our Lord's been incredibly faithful. And, you know, getting the opportunity to meet you both, you know, and just to finally go, wow, there are brothers and sisters who are going on the same journey and feeling the same things as I do. I'm not alone in this. And I do interact with other brothers and sisters, but they're so rigid in their thinking. Mm-hmm. You know, I love them so much, but it was just so hard to talk about relationship with God, mm-hmm. How to move outside of the box, because they have walked with our Father for so many decades in this way of thinking, in this tight-knitted way of thinking, that it was so hard to go, you know, I'm kind of disagreeing with you on there, brother, because I was just so afraid of rejection or my relationship with other brothers and sisters not going the way that I wanted to. But just finally taking the risk and connecting with you both and, you know, other brothers and sisters who are on the, you know, God Journey podcast. It's just, I'm just so happy and so grateful that, you know, I'm obviously not the only one.
You're not. And I'm sure there's got other people God's got to put beside you too, who you'll meet over time that'll help be an encouragement in your journey. Just realize those that are being an encouragement and those that are trying to pull you into a darker place. And
right.
You can still love them. Just don't let their thoughts get into your thoughts and make you shift your relationship with God into a more guilt obligation based thing, and you'll be fine.
Yeah, I was just so guilty too of, you know, if let's say a brother or sister, you know, says something hurtful towards you and then you get angry at them and then you feel guilty within yourself that you are angry at your brother or your sister for saying that. You know, it's just because it happens to me before in my, you know, previous Bible studies, which I'm no longer part of, praise God. But they do those things to you. You know, you go through this mode of anger and guilt all over again. And obviously it's not healthy in the journey.
It may not be, but anger is a fair response to someone trying to manipulate you. The guilt is not necessary. You know, I got angry. So, you know, what do I need to learn from that and grow on? The guilt's not helpful, but I think it's wonderful that when we feel like other people are trying to make us a victim of their point of view, that there is something that rises up in us saying, no, 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 you don't get to do that. That's a godly thing.
Thank you for traveling with us today on The God Journey. You can join this conversation by visiting thegodjourney.com.